Lots of heavy people know everything about how to lose weight safely and effectively, but they get absolutely nowhere. The reason is they've lost their motivation. We're going to tell you how to get it back and much, much more all today on episode 79 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello and welcome to Fat to Fit Radio. So Russ, last show I gave you a break because your goals are right on target. But how's your weight loss been going this week?
Well, weight-wise, pretty good here. I'm down a little over a pound, down to 230.4, so almost breaking that 230 barrier. But eating goals, maybe a 10 out of 10. I mean, I'm just making my own meals, and I haven't bought a piece of food out in like 2 weeks now. It's been awesome. But my exercise goals, I have to tell you, it's about a 2 out of 10. I hurt my elbow, and I continued to work out because it was kind of not hurting when I was actually working out. But I've got a problem with my grasp now, and so I've got to stop working out with weights for a while. Because of that, I'm going to give myself a 2 out of 10. It's very bad news. So, but motivation for the week, I'm going to give it a good 7 out of 10. Only because I've got to have a bright spot here. I've started another Couch to 5K program. I've started running again. And, you know, a few shows ago, we mentioned this 4-foot running technique. There was this Vibram 5-finger shoe that I mentioned on the web report. Well, that whole technique has just opened up running to me again. And so I'm trying that. So far, so good with my knees. Everything's working out. And I'm on week 4 of the program and really enjoying it.
Well, that's good to hear. You are so close to breaking into the 220s. When we first started the show, you were so close to 300 pounds. So your goal for next week, you have to get into the 220s.
All right, we'll give it a try.
All right, well, let's move into our email and comment section. And the first email comes in from Marion.
Hey, Russ and Jeff. I've noticed that you tend to get a lot of questions about weight fluctuations and when people should weigh themselves and how often. And I think I found /developed/tweaked a pretty good system. I weigh myself every morning at the same time and input my weight, body fat percentage, and muscle mass into a Google document spreadsheet. In the spreadsheet, I've inserted columns beside each of the attributes for the 5-day rolling average of that particular attribute. Anyone who uses Excel, numbers, or any other spreadsheet program will be able to set up a similar spreadsheet in 5 minutes. It's super easy. And a rolling average is also known as a moving average. It's just an average of the 5 previous data points. Today's value, yesterday's, the day before, yesterday, and so on and so on. So she also tracks these kind of different items here, physical and mental, emotionally, how she feels, a column for sleep quality and quantity, and then there's a column for waking heart rate and body temperature. So some more data there she's inputting in this spreadsheet. And she's given us a link to this Google spreadsheet, and we'll include it in the show notes. And she continues, I hope I have explained this clearly, but if I haven't, please feel free to email me back with questions. And I know this spreadsheet sounds really complicated, but once the spreadsheet is set up, it's uber easy. Again, thanks for the podcast. Now, Jeff, you are a kind of a spreadsheet geek. How did you like this spreadsheet?
Well, I really liked it, and it's a good example for people to check out. But I think the best thing about using a spreadsheet, if you're kind of a geek, you really get into it when you're doing this for yourself and calculating columns and averages. And if you're really geeky and you know how to create nice graphs and charts, it really keeps your head in the game about weight loss and staying focused on your goals.
Yep, I thought it was a real good tool, and I do that myself. I've got a couple of Google spreadsheets that I update. But let's get on to email number 2, and it's from Dr. Rick from Calgary.
That's right, and he's emailed us a couple times in the past, and he's been a very good resource. And he wrote, Hi guys, great new photos. You missed the final boat with the ideal weight show. The medical science is clear. For a Caucasian male, you must have an abdominal circumference, the biggest part of your gut, of no more than 40 inches, and ideally less than 37 inches. Subtract 2 inches for Caucasian females. The numbers are 1 to 2 inches less for Southeast Asians. This directly relates to the most dangerous fat, abdominal intra-organ fat. This leads to metabolic syndrome, diabetes, hypertension, premature cardiovascular disease, etc. The beauty is it works regardless of body type. Tall folks need to lose more than short ones, etc. I keep my abdominal circumference at 36 inches or less, and the weight works out to 185 pounds for my 5'10" height with 13% body fat. Yet my BMI is elevated at 26. Focus on the abdominal circumference and the rest takes care of itself. And you know, that is such an excellent point, and it's just great that we've got enough listeners that we hear about all these other things if we happen to miss things. So again, thanks Dr. Rick, and keep the advice coming if we're a little bit off the mark.
Yeah, last week in our Lose Body Fat Now show, I think we mentioned all those except for hypertension. And so it's good to know that, you know, that visceral fat is really a culprit in so many different diseases that we have today.
That's so true. Well, let's move on to our next email. And this is actually two emails, and they both came in from Jeff. And he wrote, "I only recently found and started listening to your podcast. I am a huge podcast junkie. However, I seldom look for new ones as I can barely keep up with the ones I already subscribe to. When I finally decided to search for health and weight loss podcasts, yours was the only one that has held my attention and provided me with useful information while being fun and easy to listen to. I wanted to tell you about my current journey towards a healthy lifestyle and weight.
Less than 2 years ago, I was over 380 pounds at 35 years old, the heaviest I had ever been. My job was stressful, my blood pressure was sky high, and I was fat and out of shape. My commute by train was 1.5 hours each way. I just didn't have the willpower, time, or money to make the lifestyle changes I knew I needed. It was a sign, but one I decided to ignore for a while. A year later, I had lost the job and survived 3 months of unemployment. My new job was much easier, and they had an office biggest loser contest in the planning. I wanted to change, but couldn't find a way to hold myself accountable.
The contest came up at the beginning of 2009. We weighed in on March 31st, 09. I was 36 years old and 348.3 pounds. It was a three-person team contest with some individual prizes too. Our company's healthcare costs had skyrocketed and they were pushing the employees to get healthier. We had 17 teams sign up and it was an exciting idea as the money prizes were big. I worked with my coworker and teammate and we decided to do things the health and safe way. We changed our entire way of life and headed down a path of healthy eating and exercise. By the end of the contest, I was one of the three people fighting for the individual pounds lost prizes.
At the end of the three-month contest, I was 305.9 pounds for a total loss of just over 42 pounds. I had beaten my boss out by just 0.2 pounds for the first place individual loss. My team also took second place for a percentage lost. We started out heavier than the other teams, which meant we had to lose 1.5 pounds to each of their 1 pound losses just to stay even. Even so, the contest was incredible and really made a difference in my life. I used my prize money to buy my new 32GB iPhone 3GS and decided to keep up my new lifestyle.
I just weighed in this week at 279.9 pounds, which is exactly 7 months since I started this journey. I am down just over 68 pounds total and have dropped down 4 pant sizes from a close to tight 48-inch waist to a comfortable 42. I have lost over 19.6% of my original body weight. And using body fat analyzer, I am at 35.2%, down from over 42%. I know this is good, but I know I have a long way to go. My original contest goal was to break 300 pounds. Now I'm pushing to hit 250 pounds. After that, I plan to see if 200 pounds is possible.
The first 2 months and my first 20 pounds of loss was done with the simplest of ideas, one I hear you guys push all the time. I cut out all soda and sugary drinks. I drank only water and tea, mostly green, with the occasional coffee. If I sweetened any of my drinks, I used a single Splenda and no more. I even tried to keep my Splenda use down to 2 packets a day. I prepared my day meals in advance, eating every 3 hours with occasional healthy snacks if needed. I ate a lot of salads and lean chicken and turkey and fresh vegetables. My portions were reasonable, and my goal was 5 meals a day, each being 300 to 500 calories.
I'm still not good at calorie counting, and at best, I estimate calorie content when needed. Aside from the food, I also started walking. I used my dog as an excuse to start walking 1 to 2 miles a day, week by week, working up to multiple 2 to 5 mile walks a day. This process was the mainstay of my plan at first, and by just doing this for the first 2 months, I know it helped me keep on track to changing my life and not just dieting.
I go to a gym now, and my miles are logged on treadmills, bikes, and ellipticals. I now occasionally do weight training. I know I've rambled and there was so much more I wanted to say. You're inspiring me to new goals and heights. I wish I had found you sooner.
I have suggested you to as many people as I can get to listen. I plan on buying a handful of small, super cheap MP3 players and putting a few of your best shows on them and giving them to people when The Office starts their next Biggest Loser contest. Even if I'm at my goal weight by then, I plan to join and cheer on others to see if I can help someone else strive for the pride I feel knowing how far I've come and how much further I plan to go.
All right, so a great job so far in your weight loss. So you've lost about 100 pounds in 2 years. That's really great. And that 3 months contest, you lost 42 and a half pounds. That's an amazing amount in 3 months. And then 25 pounds here in the last 4 months. Also amazing. And we really appreciate that Jeff is telling everybody about the show. And I think everybody can take a lesson from that. Tell somebody else about Fat to Fit Radio. But that is awesome, Jeff, and great job.
That's right. And in a previous show, I talked about how the Biggest Loser show is great for motivation and inspiring. And what your company doing is probably the best outcome that anyone could have hoped for being inspired by the Biggest Loser. Competition is great to get people started. Russ is doing a competition right now to give himself some more motivation. He talked about it a couple months ago. And I think that is just super that you are continuing on after the contest and haven't lost that momentum that you got from the contest in the first place. I know exactly how you feel by wanting to help out others so they can lose weight and feel that pride from accomplishing their goals in weight loss. That is how I actually met Russ in the first place, and out of that is how this show was spawned. You have lengthened your life expectancy by years by taking off the weight that you did. Your heart doesn't have to work as hard. You can breathe easier. Walking and moving around isn't as much of a struggle, and on and on and on. Now, a little bit later in the day, Jeff wrote back to us with another email.
Yeah, so Jeff wrote, "My recent decision to email you about my story and journey towards eating and being healthy has brought up a question. A lot of the time people are told that they should work towards losing excess weight, but that they should focus less on losing pounds and more on losing fat. You then hear that rather than losing weight, you should strive to lose inches. All this is then further confused by the fact that we are being told that the healthiest option is to strive for about 2 pounds of weight loss per week. My only assumption is that it's fat percentage loss and inches loss is too hard to predict from person to person, and that pounds loss is just a simple and convenient way to describe a healthy loss rate."
I'm just going to jump in here and say that you hit the nail on the head perfectly. I talked about in the last show how you really can't set a body fat percentage goal per week because the closer you get to your goal, the faster your body fat percentage changes. 10 pounds of weight loss for a 250-pound person isn't that much of a difference in that person's body fat percentage. But 10 pounds of weight loss for a 120-pound person is quite a difference in that person's body fat percentage. Now, Jeff here didn't know this because his email came in right before we published the last show, and 1 to 2 pounds of weight loss per week is the safe ballpark level for most people, but if you are much heavier, you can lose up to 1% of your body weight per week. So a 350-pound person can lose safely about 3.5 pounds per week. But let's get back to the email. And he continues, "When you have already been losing and have your weight and body fat percentage numbers already at hand, how do you know if your progress was actually good? I'd like to be able to know if maybe I could have done things better. Here are my numbers. I'm 36 years old, 5'7" male. I started out in fairly bad shape, strong but very sedentary. I started out at nearly 350 pounds and 42.4% body fat. My most recent weight was 279.9 pounds and 35.2% body fat. This means that over the last 7 months, I have lost 68.4 pounds, which averages to 9.7 pounds per month. My body fat percentage went from 42.4 to 35.2% for a total loss of 7.2% body fat. If my math is correct, that's 49.2 pounds of my 68 pounds total loss was fat."
So my question, is that good? Should my body fat number be lower? Or does the 18-pound discrepancy not matter? I know body fat percentage via electronic analyzers is inaccurate and can be skewed by variations in a person's hydration level and etc. Is there even a rule about this? Is the discrepancy simply that a smaller me has less room to store water? I have not tried to build up or lose much in the way of muscle mass, opting more to tone more than build up my muscle. Hopefully this is a good question. I'm not making too much out of it. I can't wait to hear your response.
Now, Jeff, you were thinking that you might be making too much out of this question, but in reality, this might be one of the most important questions that we have ever answered on the show. You did an excellent job changing your lifestyle, and like I said, you made a huge improvement in your health. First of all, I'm going to objectively look at your numbers that you gave us and assume that they are 100% correct, and then I'll go over your specific situation. Objectively, your numbers tell me that you lost 68.4 pounds in total. You lost about 50 pounds of fat and lost 18 pounds of lean body mass. That makes 25% of your weight loss came from muscle mass. You calculated that your body fat percentage went from 42% down to 35% after losing 68 pounds. I did some calculations, and if you lost 68 pounds of only body fat, your body fat percentage would now be 28%, not 35%. You would weigh the same amount right now, but look considerably smaller and have less body fat. Another difference, because your numbers show that you've lost 18 pounds of muscle, your metabolism is now considerably slower. If you had lost only body fat and not any muscle while losing weight, you most likely would be able to eat a couple hundred more calories per day to maintain your exact same weight. So let's just step back and look at this 18 pounds of muscle. It took 7 months to lose it while dieting. The average professional bodybuilder puts on about 10 pounds of muscle per year once they reach the professional ranks. This is done with full-time training, illegal steroids, human growth hormone, all of that junk. For the average person who goes on an intensive weight training program, it would most likely take at least 4 years to put on 18 pounds of muscle. This, in a nutshell, is why we are so against people losing weight too quickly and why it is so important for people to do resistance training, not just to gain muscle, but to keep what they already have while they're dieting. After saying all of this, Jeff must be thinking that he has totally screwed up his body, but I don't think this is the case. I don't believe that his numbers are totally accurate. I am sure that he has lost a few pounds of muscle, but not the full 18 pounds of it. He was right in that electronic body fat analyzers do have errors. I'm not too concerned with the daily fluctuations that they have because the weekly averages solve those fluctuations. I'm assuming that he was using one of those body fat scales that takes your weight and calculates your body fat percentage at the same time. The higher your body fat percentage, the less accurate they are. To get a very accurate body fat reading, you also have to be close to the average male or female that they used as a reference for the scale. If, for example, the scale assumes that the average man carries a lot of weight in his belly, but you carry most of the weight in your legs, it will assume that since you have a lot of weight in your legs, you must have even more weight in your belly and overestimate your body fat percentage. I understand that people are probably thinking right now, why am I giving this guy a break and not believing his numbers? The simple answer is that he wasn't far off of our guidelines of 1 to 2 pounds per week or 1% of his body weight per week. His numbers are a little wonky. I would expect to see those results if he had lost weight a lot faster than what he did. The average contestant on the Biggest Loser TV show would have numbers like this. In the first 3 months, he lost 42 pounds. But he started at 350 pounds. For his size, he could lose 3 to 3.5 pounds per week without worrying too much about losing muscle mass. After that, his weight loss has slowed down, which is good because he now weighs less. If he had started at 200 pounds and lost 42 pounds in the first 3 months, that would be a totally different story, and I would be trusting his numbers a lot more. He has lost some muscle mass, and if it was to be done perfectly, I would have suggested probably half that speed of weight loss and added in resistance training throughout, but right now his health and outlook is much, much better, and he is definitely on the right track. That contest gave him a good kickstart. He didn't lose crazy numbers like the real Biggest Loser contestants, and I'm confident that he will reach under 200 pounds eventually, and when he gets there, he'll probably then realize that 32-inch jeans aren't that far off, and he'll get there too.
All right, very good. I want to thank Marion, Dr. Rick, and Jeff for their emails and questions this week. Really appreciate those, and there are a few ways you can get a hold of us. The first one is by leaving a comment on the website at fat2fitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
The third way is to leave a voicemail by clicking on the call me button at the website, fattofitradio.com.
or you can always join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, let's get on to the web report. And Jeff, what do you have for us?
Well, this week's article, I'm actually really pleased to see. It comes from theconsumerist.com, and it's entitled Diet Ads No Longer Able to Use Results Not Typical to Get Away with BSing You. So I'll read just a little bit from the article because they say it a little bit better than I could. Advertisers will no longer be able to get away with showing only amazing results from consumer testimonials and presenting them as typical. Under the old rule, they could exclusively show spectacular results if they added the phrase, results not typical. This is no longer the case, according to the FTC. Now, if they use such testimonials, they will also have to disclose the results that consumers can reasonably expect. And that is just awesome that people can't get away with this. And they continue, under the revised guides, advertisements that feature a consumer and convey his or her experience with the product or service as a typical, when that is not the case, will be required to clearly disclose the results that consumers can generally expect. In contrast, the 1980 version of the guides, which allowed advertisers to describe unusual results in a testimonial as long as they included a disclaimer such as results not typical, the revised guides no longer contain this safe harbor. So I think this is just excellent that maybe these advertisements will get a little bit more realistic. So what do you think, Russ?
Well, you know, every time you see an advertisement on TV, you know, it's this amazing photograph, and this, you know, it's this large person, say a woman, and then all of a sudden she's in a bikini, and then there's a little words down at the bottom. Results not typical, and it always just goes like, you know, you want to believe it. You're like, oh, that's amazing. Look at that, the great results. But it's always too good to be true, and now at least the FTC is saying, you know what, we know it's too good to be true, and we're going to help out the consumer. So that's awesome.
You know, and it just seems common sense that they're going to have to tell people what the average person can reasonably expect to get. I mean, it's going to be tough for these infomercials to sell products like they do, because after a full hour of trying to convince you about a product at 3 a.m., most people buy because they really get sucked into it. But I think this is a huge step forward to making reasonable claims. So what do you have for us this week, Russ?
Well, you know, I am I'm a fan of the free and cheap. I don't know if anybody else knew that, but Jeff knows. And so I took out this article that I found. It was over at shapefit.com, and it is an inexpensive, actually free workout. And it's just a quick set of these exercises, which are push-ups, jumping jacks, two-leg squats, military push-ups, jumping jacks, forward lunges, regular push-ups, and running in place. Now you're going to do that 3 to 5 times for 30 seconds for each exercise, and you're going to rest for 1 minute in between. Now, this is one of those great, you know, body weight exercises where you're just using your own body weight, and just it's cardiovascular, and then there's also like push-ups and squats and things you're using your muscles that you might not normally use in a daily basis. And you know, this is going to be hard for somebody. This is not an easy workout, but it requires nothing. All you have to do is move over the couch, turn off the TV, and turn on some music, and start working. So check it out at ShapeFit.
Yeah, it's a perfect workout for people who are traveling. No equipment necessary. You can do it right in your hotel room, and it would really get your heart rate going for sure.
All right, so good. Jeff, we're going to get on to the feature section now, and it is all about staying motivated. Now, we received an email from listener Scott and inspired this feature section, so I'm going to read that email now. Hi, Jeff and Russ. First of all, I wanted to say that I love your show. I just completed season 1, and I'm very excited to keep listening. You're both a pleasure to listen to, and you provide extremely valuable information to people who need to hear it, like me. Second, I want to share with you my recent struggles with weight loss, and I'm hoping that you may be able to offer some suggestions. I'm a 27-year-old law student who recently began a weight loss journey in late June. I've begun an ambitious yet exciting plan to lose weight and eventually run the Boston Marathon in 2012. I started at 315 pounds and am currently at 297. My long-term goal is to lose a total of 135 pounds, resulting in a goal weight of 180 pounds. Then I would like to train hard and run that marathon in 2012. Motivation to lose weight was no problem in the beginning. I was exhausted with any sort of physical movement, and I was eating unhealthy for every meal. I recently was married in early June and started to worry that I might be shortening my lifespan by being obese. The fear that my wife would be alone because of my bad habits finally got me off the couch. I began to eat healthy by tracking points in Weight Watchers plan. And since I was a little self-conscious about going to the gym, I began to exercise using the Wii. I've even started a blog in order to help with motivation. The name of that blog is fatguytofastguy.com. So check that out. I figured throwing myself out in the public for all to see would be a tremendous motivator. Things were going well, and I even lost enough weight to begin using our elliptical. Then I hit a wall, a big wall. About 3 weeks ago, I missed a day of exercise. Then I missed another day and another day, then multiple days in a row. Then I stopped eating healthy. I've now gained a few pounds over the last couple weeks, and I fear that I have fallen off the weight loss bandwagon. Right now, it seems like an insurmountable task to get back on the plan because I dread my current weight loss routine. I feel that I have completely lost motivation. Exercising on the Wii or on the elliptical became boring, and I looked at it like a chore. Tracking points became tedious, and food started to taste bland. What can I do to get back on the weight loss bandwagon? Should I avoid the Weight Watchers dieting plan since it is a diet? Should I try and spice up my exercise routine and eating habits? What can I do to avoid being bored with my exercise and eating routines? I really would appreciate any tidbits of advice you might have. I will continue to follow your show. You guys are an inspiration to me, and I am extremely thankful for your hard work and dedication to us listeners. All the best, Scott. So, Jeff, what do you have to say about this?
All right. Now, this is actually a typical type of email that we see every once in a while. People start off with really good intentions and do really well for a while, but then they lose motivation and can't really seem to get it back. This isn't going to be a very long section, but I want to give a list of specific things that people can do to get their motivation back. You can know everything about nutrition and exercise, but nothing will happen unless you apply what you know day after day. Nothing was ever accomplished with only good intentions. At the start of each show, I ask Russ how his eating, exercise, and motivation is going. If you are missing any of those three, you can't expect to get any results. So to start off, I have a couple points about motivation in general. So number one, the sad truth is that nobody can motivate you. Ultimately, it is 100% up to you. You can hear a great motivational speaker that will get you all fired up or find a great role model that you'll just want to be like, but that will only give you a temporary boost in your motivation. When the daily grind starts to hit you, you will find that the only source of motivation that really counts is from within you. And secondly, the harder something is to do, the more motivation you will need. This seems obvious, but losing 100 pounds in 6 months is exponentially harder than losing 100 pounds in a year and a half. Anyone can be exponentially motivated for a few days, but most can't do it for a few weeks or months at a time. Having said that, keeping up your motivation for months and months at a time is also very hard to do. There are definite skills that you can learn and apply to keep yourself motivated. So, I have 5 main points for anyone who is finding themselves falling off the wagon who needs some definite things that they can do that will help them get fired up again. So, number one, have a powerful reason you want to lose weight. Just wanting to be healthy or live longer are good reasons, but they don't give you an immediate urgency. You must seriously examine your life and your situation and come up with some meaningful reasons. And once you come up with those reasons, they need to be reviewed on a regular basis. They must stay fresh in your mind. Here's some practical suggestions of what you can do today. Write down a minimum of 5 reasons that all start like this. I must lose body fat and become more physically fit because if I don't, then fill in the rest. If you come up with a list of at least 5 reasons that are truly meaningful to you and can invoke an emotional response in you every time you read them and feel them each time, you will have plenty of emotion. The more powerful reasons that you can come up with and the more often you review them, the better. Point number 2, there is a simple mindset that you have to adopt. The pain of not losing weight should be more painful than going through all of the effort to get healthy. And I'll say that again. The pain of not losing weight should be more painful than staying fat. Start thinking of all the negative emotions that being overweight brings up in you. Dwell on those emotions when you think of the temporary good feelings you'll get from eating a donut, and then think about getting rid of all those negative feelings that are with you every single day when you're heavy. They should outweigh the benefit of just eating that donut. The temporary good feeling from eating that donut cannot be as good as being fit and healthy. Nothing should ever be able to taste as good as being healthy and fit feels. People always do what they think is the easiest in the long run. If you start to realize that it is easier and more fulfilling to be healthier and fitter than feeling like a heavy, lazy slug, you'll do fine. Point number 3, set lots and lots of short-term and daily goals. Have a checklist of 5 to 10 things to accomplish every single day. These are the things that if you do them, you cannot help but become fitter, healthier, and thinner. Weight loss is all about doing those things day after day that add up. Check them off at the end of every day. Let's say that you have 10 specific goals each day that you want to accomplish. If you don't make 1 or 2, it isn't a failure. You can look back and see that you still made 80 or 90% for the day. Seeing daily progress every day is motivational for most people. Just saying day after day that you're going to lose weight doesn't cut it. You must set easy, measurable goals each day that you can do and succeed at it. The bottom line is, you cannot improve what you cannot measure, and you can't feel great about accomplishing goals every single day if you don't have daily goals to accomplish. Now, my last 2 points kind of go together. So point number 4, when you fall off the bandwagon, you just have to get back on it right now. You must do it now. Never say that I will start again tomorrow. You must do it now. Momentum is the key. Everyone always says that I'm going to start tomorrow because I just blew it today and there's no sense starting until I can get a clean start again. Or even worse, someone might say, well, I'm not going to start my diet until I reach a nice even number of pounds. Why don't I wait until I reach exactly 200 pounds? Because then it is easy to track how much weight I've lost. That is garbage. You need to start right now. Even if you just had a horribly unhealthy lunch and say to yourself that, well, I already blew today. I might as well just blow the rest of the day and then start tomorrow. It really doesn't matter. If you don't start now, you probably won't start tomorrow. If you say that you need to go shopping for healthy food so that you can start tomorrow, that doesn't cut it either. When you are on track and on the bandwagon, you will still need to go shopping to get food. So that is no excuse to eat like crap right now because your home isn't stocked with healthy food. So I guess I'm trying to say after all this, to get back on the bandwagon, you just have to do it, and you have to do it right now. And the last point just might be the most powerful one of all of them, and this should help 100% of the people out there. If you can't seem to get back on the bandwagon, act as if you can and go through the motions of being on the bandwagon. I'll say that again. If you can't seem to get back on the bandwagon, act as if you can and go through the motions of being on the bandwagon. You might have heard it as fake it until you make it. The momentum will catch up with you again when you start to see those results, and then you won't have to fake it. You will be on the bandwagon again. It is so simple and yet so powerful. If you can't bring yourself to act as if you're on the bandwagon, you need to act as if you can bring yourself to act as if you are acting as if you are truly on the bandwagon. Now, I can do this all day. I can keep going and going, but just do it, suck it up, and it will work. And I guess that's all I have about my 5 powerful ways to get motivated if you've lost that motivation.
All right, Jeff, that's good advice. I really, that whole fake it till you make it thing, you know, that is really the start. When you go get on this weight loss begin bandwagon, to use that term, so important just to start and pretend. I mean, eventually it becomes second nature and you're back in the habits.
And you know, the funny thing is that fake it till you make it is really coming out in the research right now. I've heard a couple different interviews where people are talking about it and how powerful that really is. But all this talk is making me hungry. So what do you have for our recipe this week?
Well, last week, the Other White Meat website came up as part of our show, and I found another great recipe, and so I had to share it. I love Mushu pork. There was a great restaurant called August Moon down here in Long Beach that closed, and I haven't had Mushu pork since then. So I found this recipe at, again, theotherwhitemeat.com, and it's called Mostly Mushu Pork. And I've got a pork loin in my refrigerator, and this is going to be what I'm making with it. And I don't care if the kids eat it or not, but I'm going to enjoy it myself. So take a look at the show notes for the recipe of this Mostly Mushu pork.
Well, you know, Russ, you didn't know this, but I actually had a pork tenderloin yesterday we cooked. But this looks way better. I cook like a guy, you know, it's just meat and salad. I really need to look at these spices and make food more interesting.
Yeah, it's okay to, you know, just have the basics and put it in the oven. But sometimes you want to spice it up and have something like this Mushu pork. So check it out. Link in the show notes. So, Jeff, what is our homework for this week?
Well, the homework this week comes right out of the feature section, so I'm just repeating part of it. It is to write down a minimum of 5 reasons why you want to lose weight and get healthy. And those reasons must start like this. I must lose body fat and become more physically fit, because if I don't, and then fill in the rest. If you come up with a list of at least 5 items that are I must because of this, that should be motivational. So that's your goal this week.
Good. And may I add to that, share them over at fattofitsupport.com so everybody can take a look at your motivational goals.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Good. And so, Jeff, what's our motivational quote for this week?
Well, the quote this week comes from Dennis Whatley, and he wrote, "Failure should be our teacher, not our undertaker. Failure is a delay, not defeat. It is a temporary detour, not a dead end. Failure is something we can avoid only by saying nothing, doing nothing, and being nothing."
All right. Dennis Whatley, thank you. That's going to do it for the show. Hope you were motivated by this show. Take a look at the show notes. They're over at fat2fitradio.com. And we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.